Yes, it is a basic fiqh program with Mufti Zubair Bayat. He is, alhamdulillah, online this time. Mufti Saab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mawlana, and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to all the esteemed listeners of Radio Islam International.
How are you doing, Mufti Saab?
Alhamdulillah, and yourself, Mawlana?
MashaAllah, MashaAllah. Mufti Saab, from the previous discussion that we had on air was with regards to Hajj preparations. That's where we left off the last time, Mufti Saab.
Yes, it was, I think, some time ago, Mawlana.
Gigi, some time ago. The Hujjaj was still in the country.
Yes, that's right. First of all, we make lots and lots of dua for the Hujjaj, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them all Hajj Mabrur, make it easy for them every step of the journey, guide them towards righteous deeds, save them from all kinds of frivolous activities and things, accept all the du'as there, accept all the ibadat, and bring them back like newborn children, return them safe home after completing the entire rites of Hajj and Ziyarat of Medina Munawwara. I think by now most of the Hujjaj have left, barring probably the last lots of Hujjaj. In this week, probably the last groups will be leaving, as far as I know, Mawlana.
Inshallah.
So, right now.
The Mujamala visas also, Mufti Saab, you know, that last minute one also, a lot of people will still take benefit from there.
Right, right. So nevertheless, the Hujjaj have departed, and we give them the dua of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the two duas. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua. Allahumma fid lil hajj wa liman istaghfara lahu al hajj. Oh Allah, forgive the haji and forgive the person on behalf of whom the haji seeks forgiveness. And we will request the Hujjaj to make dua maghfirat for us as well. And the second dua, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught the Hujjaj, Zawwadaka Allahu taqwa wa wajjahaka ila al khair wa kafaka al ham. This, I think, was already explained in our previous program. Nevertheless, I think we will conclude on that particular note, Maulana, as far as that part is concerned. And perhaps today we should discuss some aspects of Qurbani. And some, inshallah, in the coming weeks we will discuss more masail, etc., relating to Qurbani. But before we actually go to discussing the masail of Qurbani and so on, a little bit background about the Qurbani, how it came about. When Sahaba Ikiram asked Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one day, that ma hadhihi al-adahi or ma hadhihi al-dahaya ya Rasulullah, what is this act of sacrifice of animals all about? In other words, what is the significance, what is the background to this great act of sacrifice? And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded and replied by saying that millatu abikum Ibrahim. It is the way of your forefather Ibrahim. The Arab community, the Arab nation was obviously from the offspring of Ibrahim alayhi salam via Ismail alayhi salam. So therefore Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam referred to Ibrahim alayhi salam as the father. He is the father of the Arab nation via Ismail alayhi salam, through his son Ismail alayhi salam. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained that it is actually the way of Ibrahim alayhi salam, your father Ibrahim alayhi salam. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was making reference to this great act of Ibrahim alayhi salam, of sacrifice that he carried out by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the background of which is found in detail in the books of Islam, and in the Quran itself there's reference to this incident of when he offered his son Ismail alayhi salam, Zabihullah as he's known, Khalilullah, offered his son Zabihullah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the morning of the 10th of Zulhijjah in the plain of Mina. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested them, the ultimate test, and father and son both succeeded with flying colors, and of course the mother as well.
Mashallah.
All three, this family, this very noble and high family of Ibrahim alayhi salam, Ismail alayhi salam, and Hajar, they succeeded with flying colors, and they set an example for humanity till the end of time in submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Such submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is rarely ever witnessed in the annals of history, the kind of submission that was made by this family of Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam and Hajar.
So this
is what Nabi Karim explained to them, that it is actually to revive this practice of your forefather. Ibrahim alayhi salam was then given the ram in lieu of Ismail alayhi salam. وَفَدَيْنَاهُ بِذِبْحٍ عَظِيمٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to the exchange of Ismail with a very huge ram. And the Quran says ذِبْحٍ عَظِيمٍ. You can imagine how big that ram must have been. And it came directly from the heavens by the angels, brought it down. It was a huge ram. And this ram was then offered in lieu of Ismail alayhi salam. And this was the great act of sacrifice that Ibrahim alayhi salam carried out. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi salam brought this practice of his grandfather Ibrahim alayhi salam back into practice and vogue for his ummah till the end of time. So that is why we find Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi salam from then onwards, in the second year Hijriah, as far as I recall, when this order was issued, from then, a year after year, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would offer animals for sacrifice, and Sahaba Ikram, those who were of the means, would also do the same. In one occasion, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sacrificed two sheep. And these sheep were sacrificed. One sheep Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sacrificed out of the two on behalf of his ummah. And that is why it is said that the ummah should reciprocate this act of kindness of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for his ummah by also offering a nafil qurbani for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a token of supplication and appreciation for his sacrifice for his ummah. So we have the sacrifice of the sheep and the camels and the goats and the cows, etc. These are the various animals that are offered for qurbani purposes. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the last Hajj, when he was in Mina, then he offered 100 camels as sacrifice. Allahu Akbar. 100 camels were offered as a sacrifice to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this occasion. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself slaughtered 63 out of the 100. And it was as if this was in lieu of every year of life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him. He slaughtered a camel in lieu of every year of life. And the balance of the 37 animals were then sacrificed by Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And so this practice of sacrifice has come down to this ummah, you know, generation after generation and century after century. This is the living commemoration of the act of sacrifice of Ibrahim alayhi salam and his family and Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is why when we complete the sacrifice of the animal, then we read a dua at the end and we say, Allahumma taqabbal minna kama taqabbalta min nabiyika sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa khalilika Ibrahim alayhi salam. Oh Allah, accept from us this act of sacrifice from as you accepted from your beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and your friend Ibrahim alayhi salam. So this is actually the background to the udhiyah and the sacrifice of animals. And of course there are tremendous amount of rewards for this act of sacrifice. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that all the hair of this animal will be counted and they will be translated into ajr and reward for the believer on the day of Qiyamah.
Mm.
And also it has been mentioned in the narration that these animals will come with all their body parts, its blood and its horns and its all its parts, and this will be weighed on the day of Qiyamah. And the reward will be given to the believer according to the weight of the animal. And therefore Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam added an additional sentence here, and he said, فَطْلِبُوا بِهَا nafsa, try to do it with a very willing and open heart so that you can gain the maximum reward on the day of judgment.
Hmm.
So when it comes to sacrifice of the animals of qurbani, then we should try to find the best animals. We should try to find nice and healthy animals, but of course it should also be something that is edible, something that people will eat and they will benefit out of its meat. You know, unfortunately I think sometimes there's a misunderstanding about this, and people then look for such animals that look very good outwardly, so far as the size and so on, but then the quality of the meat of that animal is such that not many people want to actually eat that meat.
Mm-hmm.
So we should look for a healthy animal, but at the same time something that people are going to benefit and they are going to enjoy the bounty and favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the form of meat from that animal. That is the guiding principle here.
MashaAllah.
So also Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that these animals will become your conveyances on the day of Qiyamah, especially when a person has to cross the Sirat, which is a journey of 1500 years, 500 years climbing, 500 years in a straight line, and 500 years descending. And a person is going to have to move across the Sirat, which will be very, very difficult to cross, and beneath it is the fire of hell. So these animals will help a person in that crossing by becoming his conveyance, so he can ride on it for some parts of the journey at least. And the better the animal, the easier it will be to ride on it to complete the journey of crossing the Sirat.
Mufti Sahib, a question comes here, that what about those people who invest in shares in the Qurbani animal, 7 shares in the bigger animals? So will each one will be given a separate animal, or one animal for 7 of them? Keeping this hadith in mind, that Mufti Sahib explained.
Yes, very, very, very pertinent question. Now, well, remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who will give everyone, he has the power of giving each one his own animal to ride.
Hmm.
Because the 7 animals, 7 shares in a big animal is like one small animal.
Yes.
So it will become as if a person has got, each person will have his own individual animal.
Okay.
It won't be that they're going to have to ride it, you know, turn by turn.
Mm.
That's not the intent here. The intent is just to show the kindness and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his great favor and generosity. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so generous that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make that animal into a conveyance, and of course each person will have his own conveyance to help him across the Sirat on the Day of Judgment. So therefore, whether you buy a share in a big animal or whether you bought a small animal, in either case you will still have your own animal to ride across the Sirat on the Day of Judgment. So this is a kind of an idea of the rewards, and therefore when Sahaba Ikram asked the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in that same narration further on, that مَا لَنَا فِيهَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, what are we going to get out of it? What is the benefit? What is the reward? So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, بِكُلِّ شَعْرَةٍ حَسَنَةٍ, for every hair of the animal you will be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then they asked the question, فَصُوفُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, what about wool? Because there's no hair as far as the woolly animals are concerned. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied that بِكُلِّ شَعْرَةٍ مِنَ الصُّوفِ حَسَنَةٍ, for every fiber of wool of this animal, you will be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So from this we can see that how great the rewards are and how kind Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and generous He is in so far as rewards are concerned for those people who carry out this act of sacrifice. But very important is that the true spirit of sacrifice should be found, the masail and the rules should be followed, and we should try to do it in the best possible way. It should not be that a person is just doing this to overcome the obligation. You know, just to say, well, okay, I'll just send some money overseas, my wajib will get fulfilled, and that's it, I'm over, I'm done. Now, this kind of attitude will not earn a person the rewards, the full rewards that we are looking for. We don't say the obligation is not fulfilled. The obligation will be fulfilled. But the high level of rewards that are to be acquired, those rewards will be diminished because the spirit that needs to go with the sacrifice is lacking. So therefore we say that as far as possible, do at least your wajib qurbani locally. And then if you wish to send overseas to poor countries where people will benefit from the meat and so on, then by all means one can do as many nafil qurbanis there as possible. But for the wajib qurbani, one should at least do the wajib qurbani locally, and if possible even some nafil qurbanis locally as well. So the spirit is what is the determining factor here, and of course complying with all the etiquette and the rules as far as handling of animals is concerned and taking care of them and then making sure that they are taken to the place of slaughter properly and then they are slaughtered in accordance with the Islamic law and that it is done swiftly with a sharp knife and not in front of other animals, etc. And to read all the du'as before and after so that we can secure the maximum reward. So this is actually what is required of a mu'min in the season of the qurbani. And then at the end to also go about the distribution of the meat in the recommended manner where we give some parts to the poor people, the needy people, we give some parts of the animal to the family and friends and neighbors and some parts we keep for ourselves. So this is the completion of the whole exercise of qurbani, that it is an activity. It is a complete amal, it is a complete activity, and this activity has to be actually carried out in the best possible way to secure the full rewards. Now, if a person is going to send the money overseas, then how are we going to actually get the full benefit of this act where you're selecting your animal, and then you are there at the time of the slaughter of the animal, either you slaughter it yourself or you've got people to slaughter it on your behalf. And then you're reading the du'as and then the meat. And then of course they say that the best thing to do is on this day is to have the some part of the animal first before you eat anything else in this particular Eid. So the people actually then prepare the liver, the kaleji, and they enjoy that because that's something that can be cooked up very quickly.
Tisab, there's two questions here, if we may answer them quickly. The first one reads, what is the difference between wajib qurbani and nafil qurbani? And the questioner goes on to say, can a person give the money to the sacrifice for their own sawab-e-jariyah?
Okay, first question is, what is the difference between the wajib and the nafil qurbani? That is very clear. Wajib qurbani is what you have to do. It's obligatory upon you to do. Any person who has the value of nisab on the morning of Eid al-Adha, it becomes compulsory upon such a person to sacrifice an animal for qurbani purposes. That is the meaning of a wajib qurbani. It becomes compulsory upon such a person, and if he does not do so, he will be regarded as sinful. Nafil qurbani means to offer the animal for the purposes of qurbani upon whom it is not compulsory, or upon that person who has already completed his compulsory qurbani and now he's offering additional animals. So this will then be called nafil qurbani, because this is over and above the wajib obligation. The wajib obligation is fulfilled by one animal or one share of an animal, and whatever is beyond that is what is called the nafil qurbani.
Next question.
Yes, ma'am.
Can the person give money for sacrifice to be done on for his sawab-e jariya?
No, you see, there's no question of sawab-e jariya in the act of sacrifice. This is a wajib action, and or it's a nafil action. The meat is consumed by the people, it's eaten, it's used up. Sawab-e jariya is only applicable to instances where you spend in something that remains with you, or remains there for a long time, that you and others can continue to benefit from it. That is what is called sawab-e jariya or sadaqah-e jariya. But these actions do not constitute sawab-e jariya.
Jazakallah. The next question, Mufti Saab, I think it's a regular one that comes every now and then. Please comment on the profiteering in qurbani from sale to slicing at exorbitant rates.
Yes, this is something obviously that is not appropriate, where exorbitant profits are made and people are being charged, overcharged, etc. for the sacrifice. But at the same time, we also have to take a balanced approach, in that the people who are doing the sacrifice, the people who are offering the service, also have expenses, etc. And they obviously, some people do it for some kind of remuneration to gain out of it. So there's nothing wrong with that. It is permissible. But as we say, that it should be, you know, we should take a middle path approach. It should not be so exorbitant that we make it difficult for people to carry out the qurbani. So as long as it's a reasonable markup, it will be considered in order. Because remember, there's lots of expenses that go with the service of qurbani. You know, the people who are offering the servers, they have to first of all acquire the animals. That's a complicated process by itself. Right? They have to pay upfront for the animals, which means they have to outlay the funds, etc. Then the transportation of the animals, then the delivery of the animals to the different places, and so on. Then keeping the animals in safe custody, you know, security issues, etc. You need security guards and so on to ensure that, you know, none of the animals get stolen. Because every animal that gets lost or stolen or killed or what have you, it decreases the profit margin very much of the people who are doing the qurbani. And then, of course, there's the feeding. You have to feed the animals for the duration that they are with you till the day of qurbani, you know, and then looking after them. Sometimes they get sick, so you have to take them for treatment and all of that, and tending to them. And then the facility thereafter to arrange for place of sacrifice, then to get the skinners, and to get the people to clean the animals and to skin them, and then to refrigerate the animal for a while, because you can't just slice a hot animal. Then after refrigeration, to slice it, to cut it, to package it, then to deliver it, etc. People who offer these full services, it entails a lot of work, man.
Yes. also the aspect of you know, the animals dying, they do, farmers do tell us that between delivery and the actual Qurbani day, they are that also die.
Yes, absolutely. Now, obviously, that cost has to be absorbed somehow, because otherwise the people will run at a great loss. So for the end user or the consumer, it's quite simple. All you have to do is just go there, book your animal, select it, and then go pay for it to be there on the morning of Eid. Just be there till the animal is slaughtered if you want to. Otherwise, you ask them to do it on your behalf. And then that's it. The animal gets slaughtered, it gets skinned, it gets, you know, it gets frozen, then it gets sliced and packaged, and it's delivered to your door.
Yes.
So it's quite a convenient service for the consumer. So obviously, all of this is, if a person had to do all this by himself, which many people, alhamdulillah, they do very adequately too, that they actually take the animals home, in the yard, they keep it there, they look after the animal, they feed it, they provide it with water and so on, and then they actually do the Qurbani themselves, and they hire one or two laborers, and they actually do the skinning and everything themselves. So obviously those who do it in that manner, they are doing it the correct way too, and then it, for them, there will be not that much of expenses entailed. So obviously all that it's going to cost them is just to buy the animals and keep them for that few days. But obviously they're going to have to take it for slicing too, unless they have their own machines at home where they can slice their own meat. But most people can't and don't have that facility. So they have to still take it to a butcher, and then the butcher will obviously charge a certain, he will levy a certain charge on it, because it means using his labor and his equipment and electricity and so on, and the time that is entailed in it. So either way, whether you do it yourself, DIY as they call it,
yes,
or whether you outsource it or it's done for you to, you know, the people who offer the Qurbani services, it's going to entail expenses. So we have to accept the fact that there will be expenses. However, it should not be over the limit.
Mustafa, we've got a few more questions, if we can take them quickly. This one reads, is it the duty of the father to pay for his baligh children to do Qurbani for the child if the father has nisab amount but the children do not have it as they are dependent on the father?
Look, if the children are not, they are baligh, right?
Right.
And they are not in the means of doing Qurbani, because they don't have their own money and so on, then it's not compulsory on them to do Qurbani. Neither is it compulsory on the father to do the Qurbani on their behalf. But if he does do it on their behalf, then mashallah, alhamdulillah, it's a great thing, and it will be rewarding for all of them.
The next question reads, we made Qurbani of a cow 2 years ago, and it was given to a butcher for slicing, but when we received it, the meat was smelling, and we cooked. We were not able to eat it and consume it. Is the Qurbani still valid?
No, the Qurbani will definitely be valid. There's no question about the validity of the Qurbani, no matter how the condition of the meat may have become. But the Qurbani itself will definitely be valid. And that doesn't have any bearing on the Qurbani, the meat had a smell or it was not very tasty or what have you. The Qurbani, the validity is absolutely in place.
The next one reads, Qurbani was not done overseas last year because of the doubts that had come up. To make up for it, will one have to make double this year?
Oh, it means that they did not do Qurbani at all.
I'm not sure what is up.
If it's that, then obviously that was wrong. And now you should give that amount of money to a poor person. You can't do, there's no qaza, sacrifice of an animal. In other words, if you miss the sacrifice of the animal in one particular year, then you have to make good that by giving money to the poor people equivalent to the value of the animal.
Okay. We'll have to leave it at that, and inshallah next week we'll continue with more queries and more discussions, inshallah.
Inshallah ta'ala, Mawlana.
Jazakallah khair, Mufti Sahib. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.